Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, attention job hunters, one of the masters at helping people find work and choose careers, will be with us today. That's Richard Bowles, author of What Color Is Your Parachute, which is out in a new edition. We will open up the phones and see how he can help some of you choosing a career or changing jobs. And we'll talk frankly today about suicide, misunderstandings, and the potential contagion following the death of Robin Williams with Jennifer Michael Hecht, author of the book Stay, A History of Suicide and the Philosophies Against It. Also today, the extreme measure to fight the Ebola virus, not seen in 100 years, quarantining whole villages. And we will finish the crowdsourcing project we started with our friends at DNA Info earlier in the week, inviting you to look at a database of all the discretionary spending items that New York City Council members are spending tax dollars on without having to take a vote on them. That's all coming up. But first, another big blow for Atlantic City. Maybe you heard. After two rounds of bankruptcy, Revel Casino Hotel announced this week that it will be closing, making it the fourth casino in Atlantic City to close this year. So what's wrong with Atlantic City? And if casinos there can't stay afloat, what does that mean for gambling everywhere else? Attention New York State Gaming Commission and attention Orange County, we're talking to you. Because everywhere, people seem to think gambling is the cure for the economic blues. So Michael Diamond is with us. He's a business reporter for the Asbury Park Press. He's been covering the casino closures in Atlantic City. Last year, he worked on a series about how Atlantic City might reinvent itself post-gambling mecca. Welcome to WNYC, Michael. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And because Revel wasn't just any casino, it was a casino that Governor Christie really, really wanted to succeed. New Jersey Public Radio's resident Christie watcher, Matt Katz, also joins us. Hi, Matt.
Hi there, Brian.
So, Michael Diamond, it's not like nobody saw this coming, right? Revel filed for bankruptcy within a year of opening, then it did it again, and now it's closing. What was wrong with Revel?
Well, I think the timing was terrible. It opened in 2012, and by then there was competition all over the place. Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, it all opened casinos right in the heart of Atlantic City's customer base. Revel set out to be kind of a new style of casino, more resort. Casino was kind of included in the overall package. It included entertainment, a spa, nightlife. And it overlooked the ocean. It was a beautiful building, in my opinion. But by then, Pennsylvania had already passed New Jersey as the second biggest gaming state in the country, behind Nevada, and it just couldn't attract the crowds.
Where do people go in Pennsylvania?
They've got about a dozen casinos now. There's a Sands Casino in Bethlehem. There's a Caesars Casino near Philadelphia. So, you know, for Atlantic City, they have to figure out how are you going to convince customers to pass up casinos that are closer to home and make the hour, 2 hour drive to
And
shore.
Is that what it is? Because this is the fourth casino to announce a major struggle and ultimately to close. The Atlanta Club closed in January. Showboat plans to close at the end of the summer. And the Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino plans to close in mid-September. Hello, Donald. So is there something wrong with the overall business model in Atlantic City? Is it anachronistic?
Yeah. Well, there's only so much gambling the market can take. And if you throw into the mix in 2012, the economy and a slow recovery from the recession, especially in New Jersey, people don't have a lot of disposable income to spend. There's only so much they can take. Revel gets credit for trying to push the envelope and trying to reinvent itself. But, you know, the crowd wasn't there. It was a high-end casino for folks who were really struggling in the economy.
So, listeners, as we check in on the health of Atlantic City and the gaming industry in general, we can take your calls, 212-433-WNYC. Did you go to Atlantic City if you're a gambler or a casino goer and switch to somewhere else? Or what would you say about this from your personal experience? Or if you're listening in the area, what does Atlantic City need? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Matt Katz from New Jersey Public Radio. Why was Revel special to Governor Christie?
Their potential was tremendous. Thousands of new jobs, construction jobs, and then permanent jobs. The symbolic gleaming glass tower on the Atlantic Ocean, the construction had stalled, and then he comes into office, gives it a shot in the arm, guarantees it hundreds of millions of dollars in tax credits, construction jobs, union labor rallied around him, applauded him for restarting the project, and it's the heart and soul of the Jersey Shore. So the idea of Christie coming into office, restarting this thing, bringing it back, creating new jobs, stimulating the economy, the potential was sky high for him, and it has all collapsed. He went there. I was there with him, I think, three times in 2011 and 2012. I mean, excuse the pun, but he really doubled down on this place. This was going to be the linchpin of how he saved Atlantic City. And now neither Atlantic City's doing well at all, and obviously Revel is over. It's very bad news for the governor.
Christie, you failed. Donald Trump, you're fired. And Michael, I want to read a line from your story about Revel's closing that might catch the ear, or indeed both ears of our listeners in Orange County. After all, Orange County could be home to a resort-style casino as close as 50 miles away from New York City. Of course, that's Orange County, New York. And you wrote, quote, analysts have said the casino industry outside of Las Vegas is saturated and Atlantic City is bearing the brunt, end quote. So have analysts talked to you about why so many municipalities around the country are interested in building casinos if the market is saturated?
It's probably a more political question in terms of how do you raise tax revenue in an environment where it's really hard to convince people to pay more taxes. And you know, sin taxes are ripe for the taking. So, you know, for New Jersey, its peak in 2006, it was getting about $500 million a year in tax revenue. By 2012, that was down to less than $240 million, so less than half. Why do political folks and the debate's still going on in New Jersey? There's talk of opening casinos in northern New Jersey now. To use Matt Katz's phrase, double down.
Right. In the Meadowlands area especially, right, Matt?
That's right. And also potentially Jersey City. And the revenue there would be funneled down to Atlantic City to help boost up Atlantic City. So there would actually be more casinos elsewhere to help the casinos in Atlantic City. But Christie has not committed to that yet, although he's presented something of an open mind about it.
So here's a caller who's going to say why yes to Las Vegas, no to Atlantic City. John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, I'm an architect and urbanist. I studied with Robert Venturi, who sort of discovered Las Vegas. I love Las Vegas. It's such a hoot. It gives me so much. I go there whenever I can. Why would it? You know, they built these casinos in Atlantic City. They didn't bother to make the city in any way livable or a place you'd want to go to. They just said, we'll build these big buildings, come here and leave your money, and we're not going to give you anything back. No wonder it failed.
Michael Diamond from the Asbury Park Press, you're nodding.
Yeah, it was, you know, built as a redevelopment project for Atlantic City when they approved casinos in the 1970s. The problem was that they built the casinos as kind of these self-contained boxes where they didn't, you know, the casinos themselves got a ton of revenue, but they didn't want you to leave. So they were very isolated and didn't help the city like I think that had been envisioned in from the outset.
Matt, is it true you once asked the governor about Bruce Springsteen's Wrecking Ball album and he responded with a public plea to have the boss play a concert at Revel?
That's exactly right. And the boss did not play a concert at Revel after Christie made this public plea. However, he was in Philly the following night and he played the song Atlantic City, where one of the lyrics of the song is there's a guy he wants me to do a favor for him. So I like to believe that I asked the governor if Bruce should play Revel, and the governor took the bait, and then Bruce responded basically no in lyric form. He thought that it would be great for Springsteen if he really – he said something along the lines of if he really is – the voice of the working class in New Jersey. He should come to Revel and do a concert because this symbolizes the rejuvenation of the working class in New Jersey. But neither the concert nor the rejuvenation happens.
And Springsteen did play Foxwoods this summer. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, you know, Gene Mickle, who works with me on the series, went to the show and said it was excellent. So
it's not like
why.
You know, people might think, oh, Springsteen's not going to lower himself to play a casino, but apparently he does. So he did that in Connecticut, but he wouldn't play Revel even after the governor's plea. Maybe it was because it was the governor's plea. Maybe he just doesn't like Chris Christie, Matt.
Well, Beyonce played, so maybe, you know, Christie lost Springsteen, but he got Beyonce.
Didn't Michelle Obama attend that concert?
She did. She did. And I also believe that Christie stayed at the Revel that particular weekend.
So it has to be a destination for more than gambling. I think that's part of the Foxwoods model, Michael.
Yeah, and I think Atlantic City leaders recognized that a couple of years ago, and the casinos recognized that, and they started a group called Atlantic City Alliance, and they funded it with $30 million a year for 5 years. And the goal was to reach out to consumers and market it as more than just a gambling destination. Their first advertisements last summer didn't even mention gambling. That showed the ocean and people dancing and the like.
Eric in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric. Hi, Eric. Eric, we'll try it again in a minute. You'll have to turn down your radio. Mike in Hazlitt, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick question for you. Does Superstorm Sandy weigh into this at all, and how does it, by comparison to the other factors, the politics, the slow recovery from the recession, and the saturation of the market?
Good question. Matt, you want to take that about Sandy's impact on Atlantic City or Revel in particular?
Yeah, there was something of a public relations problem for Atlantic City after Sandy. Although Atlantic City actually was relatively spared compared to other places further north on the shore, there was this perception that it was destroyed. There was some chaos in terms of evacuations during the actual storm, and that was said to have hurt AC to some regard. But I mean, if you look at the numbers over the last several years and the just decline in revenue and the decline in gamblers. I mean, this was Sandy was a problem, but I think it's something minor in the scheme of things, really.
David in Middlesex County, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Thank you, Brian. I had an old basketball coach who used to say, "You can't beat something with nothing." Revel was a beautiful place, however, they require you essentially to stay there. If you walk out 100 feet or so on this boardwalk, look at the beautiful Atlantic Ocean, they're making pizza out of microwaves. The area around Revel in no way measured up. I wanted to support Revel because it was a non-smoking environment. I'm not a gambler, but I wanted to do my part to help them succeed. Unbelievable. They have to at least meet you halfway. Mm. Typical New Jersey. It was just horrible.
David, thank you. Are you here? Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the governor, when they gave him $261 million in tax breaks going forward, in conjunction with that, there were two bills that he signed. And he signed this in the skeletal construction site of Revel before it reopened when the construction restarted. And one of those bills created this tourism district. It was essentially a state takeover of the casino area. So, you know, Christie acknowledged that it wasn't just putting up new buildings, that there had to be a more holistic approach to fixing the city, to making it safer, to adding non-gaming sort of options. And there was also some deregulation that he signed into law that day. So, you know, they did at least say that they were trying to take a larger look at things. And if you know Atlantic City, Revel's somewhat isolated, but so is a place like the Borgata. And the Borgata is a nice casino that has, and Michael can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's sort of weathered some of this storm better than the other casinos have. So, you know, there was a possibility that Revel could have made it.
Yeah, it's Borgata has done quite well since it opened in 2003, and it seems to have found the model to make that work. One of the consultants I spoke to this week was complaining about the design of the Borgata as being not as inviting as Borgata. I don't know if the design itself was enough to not make it work.
So, Michael, I wonder what you think the direct lessons, and I realize you work for the Asbury Park Press and you cover that section of one state, including Atlantic City, but have you thought about lessons for the New York State Gaming Commission? Because the Catskills, and I know people in that Catskills region who don't sort of love the idea of it becoming a casino mecca, but they think it's the only path to economic recovery. And so there is a lot of enthusiasm, from what I could tell, among people there to get casinos in the Catskills. And, you know, they think it's going to work. But when you think about the Catskills, it's sort of like Atlantic City, maybe even worse, because it's harder to get to. It's a little even further from New York City. I don't know. Orange County is close. But when you get really into the Catskills, Sullivan County and all of that, you know, it's a real drive. And so you have to be going there as a destination, and you have to find, I presume, things other than the gambling itself. So what do you think the lessons are for the Catskills, or does it make you shake your head and go, that's not going to work?
Well, as a redevelopment project, I don't know. The Atlantic City kind of made a couple of mistakes. Some were subtle. For example, the Redevelopment Authority, which was funded by tax on casinos, didn't keep all the redevelopment money in Atlantic City. It also spread it all over the state. So there were apartment complexes in Perth Amboy, I think, that got money. The Monmouth Ocean Food Bank, which is an excellent organization, it also got money. And I imagine that was sort of politically motivated to convince lawmakers to support the project or keep supporting Atlantic City casinos. The other thing is when they opened, the employees would park in ancillary lots outside of the city, and they'd be shuttled into the casinos, which left a lot of parking for visitors, but they lost all the spending power that employees had because they just drive on back to their cars and go home. So I think it kind of needs to be an all-encompassing project where it's not just the casino raking in money. It also needs to kind of share the wealth a little bit.
And, of course, they've got the country setting, the mountains in the Catskills. And I wonder if it's incompatible. Are people going to go to gamble and hike? You know,
which is okay, because Las Vegas now gets, I think, it might be a 50-50 split between gaming and non-gaming revenue. And you can go play golf in Las Vegas if you're not a big gambler.
So more typically on this show, when we talk about gambling and the proposed casinos for our area, it's a debate about whether casinos are good for the community or bad for the community. This has been a different kind of discussion for us, just whether it can work in terms of economic development or what's wrong with Atlantic City. Why can't the casinos thrive in Atlantic City? So a call that we might more typically have gotten, we're going to take right now and see how it plays into this conversation. Avashta in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hello, Avashta.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me on the show. I listen to your show every day. I'm in the mental health area, and I've interviewed people who are addicted to gambling. And I would love to hear from someone who has a gambling addiction on the show today to just basically describe to you what their life ends up with and what happens in the process. In the research that I've done so far, no community has ever survived having a gambling casino in their community. So it's just the inevitable.
Well, that's a pretty sweeping way to put it. No community has ever survived having a casino.
I understand that, Brian, but the research that's been done out there about the presence of casinos in communities, it's pretty compelling to say that the benefits are very – my research showed that there were no benefits. And the way that impacts a community and how it pans out to a lot of different problems, and one of them being addiction. And I don't know if you know, addiction is now a DSM diagnosis for mental health. And if you speak to anyone in the mental health area, they'll tell you that having gambling casinos in areas or increasing gambling, having casinos really increases their business, meaning there will be more addicted people that they would be treating.
Right. So when you hear this business analysis kind of conversation, Avastya, do you think simply, oh, good, another casino is going out of business, a casino-rich area, Atlantic City, is failing economically by relying on that too much, so you're reveling, if I may say, in the failure?
I don't want to put it that way because, you know, I don't want to sort of say that, you know, I am happy for a failure. What I am saying is that a casino, the presence and the concept of a casino is built on the notion to suck out of a community. And so to me, it's really a failure either way you look at it. So, you know, for a casino to fall apart is just sort of making that point that this is what happens when you're in a part of a community or you are in a community. And what I want to say, it's not just the immediate communities that these casinos will be at. The people, if you talk to an addicted person, they'll tell you that they will have a habit of going to Las Vegas a certain amount of times a year, right, or even, you know, at a whim. Or they may not even be at that community, but they're impacted by that specific casino.
Avastya, thank you for your call. And that thought should be in, at least for a minute, all of these conversations, I agree. But, Michael, those addicts and anyone who just likes to gamble who's not addicted don't need to go to Atlantic City. They don't need to go to Las Vegas. They don't need to go to Foxwoods or the Catskills in the future because they have smartphones and, you know, all the other endorphin-pumping things you can do online. So has the digital age impacted Atlantic City as it has continued to mushroom?
I don't know. I mean, New Jersey opened up online gambling this year for the first time, and the revenue isn't great. Some of the casinos that have survived are seeing year-over-year increases. So I don't know if technology has how much it has to play with it. Obviously, there are a lot of entertainment options out there.
And so for people just concerned with the New Jersey economy and the Atlantic City economy, I should say that your series in the Asbury Park Press included alternative development models for Atlantic City. So what are the leading ones if they're not going to be, Atlantic City, gambling anymore?
Well, first and foremost, I think they're going to need to take advantage of the beach and the ocean, which they hadn't done for 30 years. It's a natural draw that sets it apart from Pennsylvania.
Wasn't that the original business model, though? Gambling plus the shore?
It was, but you'd be surprised how few windows were in the casinos that let you look outside. So this summer they had some massive concerts on the beach. Blake Shelton and Lady Antebellum had huge turnouts. And when you go and you talk to families, we went in July this year, and there were a lot of families walking around and talking about how there were plenty of things to do. But you could also see that they're still in the casino mindset. For example, they wanted swimming pools, but some of the casino hotels their swimming pools were only open if you're 21 and over. So there might be some demand for it. The big issue is that casino revenue was huge, and they lost, you know, more than $2 billion that they've got to make up. And right now, you know, the non-game revenue is increasing by something like $160 million a year.
So, Matt Katz, does Governor Christie have an alternative economic development model for Atlantic City now that his favorite casino, Revel, has gone down?
For now, it is his alternative is a summit. He has convened a summit on September 8th. He announced this yesterday with Senate President Steve Sweeney, the Democratic leader in the legislature, casino industry folks, the local officials, unions, and they're going to meet in Atlantic City and discuss ways of changing the Atlantic City landscape, as he put it. So they're going to have this summit, and then he's convening a working group that will issue recommendations, which is kind of the way he often deals with some of these problems. He's got a group dealing with Port Authority reforms. He's got a group dealing with pension reforms that are going to come back to him with recommendations. So I'm sure they'll do a big show of this on September 8th, and we'll see if there's any real solutions that come out of it. I mean, one big, more immediate issue is he's going to have a huge vacant building on the Atlantic Ocean. And I don't know if that becomes a political embarrassment for him as he moves on and tries to run for president, or if it's just something that local officials are going to have to figure out how to keep safe and everything else.
Affordable housing. But that's another show.
There's been talk about that, yeah.
All right, we have to leave it there with Michael Diamond, who covers business, including the struggling casinos of Atlantic City, for the Asbury Park Press, and New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, we will talk about suicide, misunderstandings, and the potential contagion, and the case against it following the death of Robin Williams. Stay tuned.